Hey fam, Patrick here. Exciting news, everyone, before we get to the show. So I'm going to be hosting meetups in a whole bunch of cities this spring and summer. We just did our first one in Salt Lake City with the Utah Meetup Group, and it was incredible. So we're going to keep it going. Now, the point of the meetups is for the TCO fam to meet and hang out with like-minded people who live in their community. It's all about making new friends, and I am just so thrilled that I get to come and witness it. So we have two more cities we're announcing right now. We're going to be doing a meetup in Milwaukee on Thursday, May 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. and then in Chicago on Friday, May 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. These events are completely free and there will be a cash bar for food and drinks. The locations will depend on the number of people who are coming. And you can let us know you're coming by going to the Facebook group and RSVPing to the events, which are pinned at the top of the group. Come solo or bring a friend, but please do RSVP if you can so we can get an accurate number of how many people to expect. Once again, that's Milwaukee on May 9th and Chicago on May 10th. And we'll be announcing a whole bunch more cities very soon. I'm so excited about this and I cannot wait to see you all. Okay, now to the show. It's finally beautiful in New York City.
I was going to say, you know what today was?
What?
Beautiful.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was so nice. It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
This is our second of our five or six allotted nice springtime days.
You're correct.
We only have a few left. We have to really enjoy them and love them. And I spent all day prepping for this recording, so I missed it. But hey, it's here. I hope everyone had a lovely, beautiful day.
Beautiful. Hi, Julian Bentivali.
Hey, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam. I want to give you just some things to put on your calendar. If you're on the Patreon, we've got some really cool things coming up. So in just a couple of days, on April 27th at 7 o'clock, is our next drag bingo with
the amazing Schwa. Yes, Schwa.
And then on Monday, May 6th, we're doing another mixology class with the amazing Cam.
Oh, right.
It was the first live Patreon cool event that we had done in a long time. She makes cocktails based on our documentaries.
Yeah.
There might or might not be a colloidal silver margarita.
Oh, stop.
Menu from the Cult of
because
Mother God.
I think she just makes them in her infinite wisdom. And I mean that usually when I say, oh, infinite wisdom, I'm talking about like Michael Barnett. But
yep.
Cam's amazing.
She's incredible.
So they handle it completely.
And we do it all over Zoom. Anybody at the $5 level or above is welcome to join. We hang out. We talk. We drink. It's like just such a fun, fun time.
It's very fun.
Join the Patreon. You can also get over 450 full ad-free bonus episodes.
It's got to be at least at this point.
So much stuff. Patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed. Or just go to our website. Click on the Patreon. Link. Girl, what are we talking about today?
All right. Hi, everyone. This is one of our bonus episodes that we throw at you every once in a while.
Yes.
This is an episode of 2020. It's called This Is Revenge. You can find it on Hulu.
This is a huge whodunit.
Who came into Dr. Joseph Sanye's house, shot him, and knifed him?
We were dealing with something that was a hit.
We started racking our brains. Well, it's got to be some type of girlfriend situation.
A stalker.
There was this big, creepy-looking guy sitting there, and he was staring at the door like he was looking for someone or watching someone.
A confession, a payoff, and a courthouse twist that nobody saw coming.
Everybody is stunned. Stunned.
That was devastating. I mean, I had a moment of just silence. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think.
You can't make this stuff up. And that's one of the fascinating things about this.
This whole thing is nothing but darkness and evil.
This is the oldest story in the book. This is vengeance. This is pride. This is revenge.
This is crazy.
It's wild.
This is a really crazy story. It opens, the first words of the episode are, today in Lubbock, Texas, temps that will dip into the upper 70s and lower 80s, to which I said, why would anybody live anywhere else?
Welcome to Texas.
Like, oh my God. And I know, like, I'm sure it's sweltering in the summer.
But they say, like, much cooler temps today. We're in the low 80s.
I know. I also want to know, because Natalie Maines is from there. Like, tell me they named the high school after her at this point.
They hate Lubbock or leave it. The chicks hate Lubbock, Texas.
I know, but I love the chicks.
Yeah.
That's all.
They just didn't have a good experience. If you're from Lubbock and you love it,
yes.
Great.
My friend Melissa lives in Lubbock.
Then does she love it?
I think so.
Okay, great.
You know what? She's got a friend. You know what her friend's name is? Kim Basinger.
Oh my God. Can I tell you something?
Please.
Wait, what is that like for her?
I
for
don't
her
know.
Friend?
I've never met the other Kim Basinger. I don't know. But her name is Kim Basinger.
That is, how old is this person? May
like
I ask?
In 40s.
Okay. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This, I meant to tell you this. Okay. So we were just talking about Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
So I've been, I don't know why, but it's been helping me go to sleep. So I have one of those, there's an app where you can watch like TV for free.
Oh my God.
With ads. I don't know what it is, but there's like a Jeopardy channel. So to help me go to sleep with my like rain sounds or whatever, I've been watching Jeopardy. The Jeopardy teen tournament was on last night, whatever.
Okay.
There is someone where it's like, you know, name number one, name number two. Guess what this teenage girl's name was. Same spelling, I swear to God.
Like Cindy Crawford.
Tori Amos.
No way.
And they didn't ask her about it in the little like stop and chat that he does seconds because Alex Trebek was there. And they talked about how she won some other genius kid trivia thing happened to be led by someone who was also on Jeopardy. But I wonder if she was like, please don't mention it. My mom loves Tori Amos. I'm sick of talking about it. But her name, she's like a teenager.
That's wild.
Tori Amos.
Oh my God.
Amos, whatever.
Yeah.
An icon, a legend, not unlike Kim Basinger.
Her name is Kim Basinger.
Unbelievable.
She was it's wild.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, this is a sad start to the story. We learn that the landscapers are at a house that they usually go to.
The landscapers start their usual routine at a doctor's house, but they're starting to think something's off.
Somebody has broken a window. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Ma'am, what's going on?
Dr. Joseph Sanye's body is in the garage. His murder's truly brutal. Shot and stabbed 11 times.
So the 911 call is that Dr. Sanye did not show up to work today.
Yes.
And there's a broken window and his body is found in the garage. He was shot and stabbed 11 times. There's a bullet still on the ground in the garage. And so Detective Zach Johnson is here. And at first he thought it was a robbery gone bad. But then he looks around and he's like, right, but nothing was taken.
Right, because it's a very fancy, wealthy neighborhood. So like that's the kind of crime you would see there. But like this looks much more. He's saying that like the guy's got expensive art, iPads, electronics, and he said it was an in-and-out job. Like, this was a targeted hit.
And something very terrifying is near the gun casings, there is a Gatorade bottle that was used as an amateur silencer.
Like a Gatorade bottle.
And we'll come back to that. It becomes very, very important.
Also, like, it's just like to show that the crime scene, like, whoever the killer was, like, came upon Dr. Sanye unexpectedly. There's an overturned chair, there's glass on the floor. It was contained to this one room.
Yeah.
You know, and then out into the garage.
Matt Murphy is here. He's a prosecutor. We've met him before.
Yes.
He's been in a few 2020s. And he says, like, this is not a robbery at all. Like, someone came here specifically to kill Dr. Sanye.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, but why? Like, this guy's a doctor. He's a respected member of the community. Like, who would want this guy dead?
And there's also some tragedy in Dr. Sanye's life. So he's very wealthy, but he has three grown sons. And his wife, Becky Galagos, was murdered 2 years ago. So this happened, the murder of Dr. Sanye happened the day before the two-year anniversary of Becky's murder.
Can we talk about this for a second?
It's crazy.
We are going to learn. They tell us pretty quickly it's not part of the mystery. The murders are not connected.
They're not.
But like the grown sons are here and they're like,
I got the call the day before the two-year anniversary of my mother's death. I thought maybe it had something to do with her death. That's how out of left field and completely out of nowhere this was.
He assumed because it was the day before the 2 year anniversary of the murder of his mother that it's related to his mother.
Right.
Like how could it not be? And he describes that phone call and it's just unbelievable.
And he also says, like, as soon as he learned that his dad was killed, he said, I knew how to plan a funeral. I knew how to scrub blood off the floor. I knew how to do everything we had to do because we had done it once before.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And they were just planning, again, just the emotion. They were just planning on having a memorial or just sort of go through that time again because it was coming up on the anniversary of his mother's murder 2 years ago. Like, that's where his mind was. And now to have to deal with it again is just unbelievable. It's heartbreaking.
I can't explain it. I only know one other person who knows somebody who was murdered. And I remember talking to her and her saying, like, you just never expect that you're going to know somebody who's murdered. These kids have two parents that were both murdered. Like, it must have been an unfathomable experience.
The statistical likelihood, like, doesn't even exist almost.
And, like, the point that you made, so close to the same date, like, one day apart.
Right. So it's just the mind F of it. It just makes no... Wait a second. I'm mourning my mom. I'm celebrating her life today because it was 2 years ago. But you're telling me my
dad's been murdered now, too.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Travel down.
Girl, Hydro is back. Look, it's a rowing machine that gives you the most amazing full body workout of your life. I am a rower now. That is a real thing. Did you know that?
I did know that. Also, this is designed by rowers.
I know.
Real rowers. So, you know, it's going to get the job done. And it only takes 20 minutes.
Right, that's the whole thing. All of the workouts are within the rower. So, like, you sit down, the screen is all digital. You can pick the workout that you want to do. You sit down and you just row like your life depends on it.
Yeah, I learned this, too. Rowing works 86% of your muscles.
I feel it every time. Yes. Did I tell you I can finally do my 2,000 meters in under 8 minutes?
Fun, congrats.
I worked it out on my Hydro. That's how I did it.
Congratulations.
Also, fam, Hydro workouts are led by Olympians and world-class athletes. You're not doing this yourself. You're doing workouts that are led by real, cool, amazing athletes. And it's for all levels. It's not just for, like, the masters. It's for the beginners like me, too.
Yeah, and the workouts are filmed all over the world,
yes,
outside. So the scenery is really cool. It doesn't feel like you're stuck in a studio.
Yes.
You know, it sort of makes you feel like, oh, I'm out in the world with this top-tier coach. Amazing.
And you know how, like, people start things and then give them up? And this, like, it could be like a fad or whatever. No, 90% of customers who get Hydros are still active 1 year later. It becomes like a community. It really is like a thing that you stick to it.
Because it's fun and it's easy.
Truly.
And it's pretty.
And you're pretty.
Thanks.
Fam, I am absolutely obsessed with our Hydro. And you, be your best by joining the growing rowing community at Hydro.
Head over to Hydro.com and use code TCO to save up to $400 off your Hydro.
That's HYDROW.com, code TCO, to save up to $400.
Hydro.com and the code is TCO.
I'm telling you, stop running, start rowing.
I know.
It's the most amazing thing you can do.
Really, you don't have to convince me to stop running.
I know.
We learn a little bit about Lubbock. It's in the middle of ranching country. They say gorgeous fields with wide open skies. And I'm like, I think you mean wide open spaces. Lubbock or leave it, everybody.
Yes.
But Dr. Sanye is super well known.
He's a well-known doctor, a multimillionaire, a businessman. He loves to travel and has an expansive wine collection.
This guy works hard. He enjoys the finer things in life.
And he's also kind of a square. Which is
a little bit, because it's sweet. Like, his first name is Joseph. So Joseph met his wife, Becky, in high school, and they were high school sweethearts. And after 27 years, Becky has decided to leave Joseph. Becky is the other murder victim here.
Yeah, but from two years ago.
So she's fallen in love with someone else, and Joseph is shocked. Now, we learn quickly about Becky here, and we did some side googling. Becky is murdered by her new husband.
So that's the only thing that's in the documentary. They don't really give us much other information, so we looked it up.
So, yeah, she was going to leave him. They were both in their 50s. She was going to leave him.
After only 2 years of marriage.
Yeah, and as we learned, it is very difficult for that to happen. It's the most dangerous time to leave a bad relationship. The husband, sorry everyone, kills her, kills the dog, calls 911 to say what had happened, and while he's on the phone with 911, he turns the gun on himself. And I guess the reason we're not getting into it is because it's not a mystery very much. We know exactly. It's tragic and awful, but it's very clear what happened. Like, he was on the phone with 911. It's a horrible thing, and it's just tragic that Becky couldn't get out of there.
I just cannot wrap my mind around it.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, you know, Dallas, the son, is here, and, like, the divorce from the mom was really hard for the dad. Like, he's saying she was the only one he ever loved. When they got a divorce, it was a total shock to him. Everything he'd worked for in his life evaporated in 1 second. And I was kind of like, okay, but, like, we know that she's allowed to leave him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I just wanted, like, there was a, felt a little victim blamey there for just a second. I was like, but she's, like, allowed to move on with her life.
Oh, no, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
But the point is, Joseph is 48 years old and dating for the first time.
Starting over.
And his sister, Missy's like, you're sweet and you're rich and you're a pillar of the community. You're going to be great.
They say he has disposable income in an empty house. And she's like, he was bald and he was really self-conscious about it. And she's like, women don't care about
that. They don't care. So on a whim, Joseph starts taking ballroom dancing lessons, and it is like shooting fish in a barrel.
I know.
He's dating these fantastic, beautiful women. Dallas is like, he got his mojo back like that. And Dallas is like, I gotta say, my dad had good taste.
He started to meet beautiful single women, attractive women who were also, you know, in his age range. And he got the mojo back like that.
So how did you feel about the women that he dated?
The truth is, we liked most of them.
Joseph kind of learned, like, I can get back out there, and this dancing thing is helping, and he was just sort of like, you know, a guy about town.
Current 48 is not our parents' 48. Like, these people look incredible. Like, Dr. Joseph, he looks incredible. The women that he's meeting all look incredible.
It's a great place to meet
totally.
People.
Totally. Yeah.
Know?
Ballroom dance. Like, the nerve to go to a ballroom dancing class solo.
I wonder if it was a singles dance class, which they should be having. Like, that's a great place to meet people.
That's a great idea.
And it's a great way to sort of
I don't know, the intimacy of, like, you have to hold your partner and stuff. Like, now I'm getting a little, I don't know.
It's weird. But I'd be like, I don't want that person to be my partner.
Well, but right. And that's my fear, is that, like, I'd be the one that everyone's like, yeah, anybody but him, though.
And if you know, it's like, oh, I'm here to meet someone. Like, right. No, I'm here to dance.
Right.
I'll let you know if I'm open for business.
It's
right now.
I will let you know if I'm open for business.
I'm not open for business.
But it's like, it's like an interesting thing. Like, go take a paint and wine class. Or like, because if you're doing a dance class, like, you have to touch somebody.
Yeah.
That's an intimate thing.
It is. It's very intimate.
I will let you know if I'm open for business.
Until then, don't worry about it.
Yeah, until then, closed.
Yeah,
for business.
Closed.
You know what I mean? Officially.
Keep walking. So I have that little thing, be back in. No.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'll be back. I don't know.
You know what?
I don't know when
I'll be back.
I don't know.
Exactly.
So that little clock, be back. And yeah, I don't know.
Be back.
So one of the women he meets is Rochelle Shatina.
Yes.
And she's a divorced single mother. She has 4 grown boys of her own. He has 3 grown boys.
Yeah.
Now, Joseph's kids don't live in Lubbock anymore. They left it. Lubbock or leave it. That's the last time I'm going to say.
I know. It's a great song, by the way. It's such a good song.
But the thing is,
Dallas and his brothers don't live in Lubbock anymore. But every fall, they come back for a family tradition. One of those giant tailgate feasts at a Texas Tech football game.
What do any of those words mean?
It's a big football thing. Just watch Friday Night Lights. You'll get it.
Okay. Tailgating is like the drinking part, right?
That's what happens before people start at like 10 in the morning. And then the game is like... And it's a lot of sports have tailgating. It doesn't really matter.
People love their sports.
They love the tailgating.
Why aren't we tailgating for Broadway shows? Like, why aren't we out in front of the theater?
Are you not?
Well, I mean, could we get there at 8 in the morning and just start drinking and making barbecue in front of the St. James?
If you're going to a matinee and you're not going to brunch before, I can't help you. The options are right
but
there.
But I want to tailgate on 44th Street. You know what I mean?
No, you don't.
No, you're right.
You think... No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess not.
You want to tailgate in the restaurant.
Yeah, at the Glass House Tavern
right next door. With the delicious food.
You know what? I stand
great.
Do you know what I mean? What? Officially open for business over here.
Okay, great. See? It's nice to decide.
It is.
Now, at this big tailgate at Texas Tech, Joseph brings Rochelle. It's their first date. It's a major tailgate with all the kids, and I'm like, trial by fire, Rochelle.
I know.
That's pretty big for a first date.
It's funny. I was like, everyone's like, oh, Rochelle, were you nervous? And she's like, no, it was just a first date. I've got Rochelle energy.
Rochelle is like, I'm a catch. It's gonna go as well as I want it to go. Yeah. I'm not worried about me or anything else.
It's like when one catch meets another is like what was going on here.
It went very well. She wasn't worried at all.
No.
She doesn't know why you're worried. It's weirding her out.
And the kids were very impressed. They were like, you know what? She was kind of great. Like, she was not nervous and she was like, knew how to be cool and everybody's having a good time.
She was into it. Yeah. And then like a few months later,
Rochelle and Dr. Sonia traveled to California to visit Dr. Sonier's grandchildren, and that seemed to make her very happy.
Where's your head?
What a great time. She came over to the house. We played with my kids. It couldn't have gone better.
That could not have gone better.
You hear Dallas saying, like, she was playing with my kids. It was great. It was all fine. We see video of it. Everyone seems like they're having a good time.
Super happy.
Yeah.
Rochelle's here, by the way. I'm like, oh, hey, girl.
You know what? When we saw Rochelle, I was like, oh my God, she's not the killer. Like, I didn't know
this was going.
Me either. Because they oftentimes do that thing where, like, at the end they pull out and she's wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Right. I didn't know what was going on.
Like, they pull out and you see the guard standing behind her and she's handcuffed to the chair.
Or if you just see, like, indistinct, like, gray walls behind them.
Yeah.
With no framed photos or like curtains.
They fucked you on that one time and you never trust
it
again.
I'll never forget it. So Rochelle's like, I super loved him. Marriage would not have been out of the question, but
yes,
I never pressured him. We never even talked about it. And we slowed down on this a lot.
Well, she's being very defensive here. And maybe it's because the interviewer was like, were you expecting him to marry you or whatever?
I'm like, what? Don't worry about it.
She will let us know when she is open for business.
So they take this big trip to Paris. So it's Rochelle's 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And they do this really romantic trip. They do that thing with the locks on the bridge.
I know.
That big Paris.
Rochelle's like, I was over the moon. It was a dream come true. And I have this. And I'm like, it's just Paris. Like, no, Paris is beautiful. I love Paris. But like, some of the restaurants are so old that you go to use the bathroom and there's just a hole in the floor. That's not a joke.
That's bullshit.
Nope. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Okay. Do you wash your hands? What's going on
of
with
course.
That?
Is there running water in this restaurant?
Well, I'm you telling just told you, me there was a hole in the ground.
You didn't believe me. You looked me right in the eye and said, that's
you.
Bullshit. No, there are definitely restaurants I've been to in Paris where there is a hole in the ground.
Okay. If you can install like an oven and shit to make or a stove.
No, I'm with you. I really wish there was a toilet. You know? I think there should be a toilet.
Yeah. But I am, you know, give and the older the building, the better.
I agree.
I love that shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Don't fuck with it. Don't, I don't want to see a light switch. Like, don't give
you.
Me like too many modern
yeah.
things, but like not a hole in the ground would be nice.
Not a hole in the ground.
If we have running water, do you know what I'm saying?
I couldn't agree more.
Because you have to extra wash your hands in a bathroom.
I
like
know.
That.
Well, you turn around and walk. You don't actually use the bathroom. And you're like, I don't have to go that bad. I will wait.
No.
Yeah.
I'll go next door.
Yeah. Yes. The other thing that Rochelle says is that they do that thing at that, like you were saying, the bridge with the lock where you write your name on it.
Yeah.
But then you throw your key into the river. That doesn't seem good for the fish.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah. She said you throw the key into the river and it's supposed to like cement your love forever.
Oh.
I would write my initials on a lock with you.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I really
what
would.
What can we do with the key?
We will keep the key.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll come back and we'll give it to Daisy. She loves keys.
She'll lose it in a heartbeat.
But
which,
don't
is,
need
the,
it
which is the point
that's
of.
That's the point.
Right. Then throwing it. I won't interrupt the fish.
Yeah.
It's their living room.
Honest
not mine.
Don't throw that into the river. That's
no.
not nice.
No, I don't. I. Yeah, right? It can't be nice.
Yeah. Anyway, Paris is great.
Okay.
Travel. Girl, DraftKings Casino is back. Look, I want you all to be like me and play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. I've actually played this game. It's really fun. The excitement is endless. The vibes are right. And the cash prizes could be huge.
Look, new players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits.
I'm telling you, that is the best part of your day, fam. Download the app and use code TCO to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net.
In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org.
Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario.
Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours.
See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Restrictions apply! I was going to say it.
Oh, sorry. You can take it. No. A few weeks after this amazing romantic trip, everything's going well, the families are getting along, that's when Joseph Sanier is murdered. And they, of course, question Rochelle because, as we've learned, you start close, you work your way out.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I think about this. Look, when I first met Steve and I knew he was the one, I could only imagine him dying. You know what I mean?
Were you my mother?
Sometimes.
Just going right to, like, oh, any tragedy or...
Wait, you looked at me. Wait, that doesn't happen to you? Like, if you meet, something great is about to happen, like, you don't just imagine all the ways it could go wrong.
Disaster? 100%.
Yeah.
I am Roger and or Mimi. I should tell you, I'm disaster.
Exactly.
Like, I don't
Same.
Know where to begin.
No, and so, like, I was just thinking, like, I remember thinking, like, something terrible is going to happen to this amazing man.
Of course,
that I just
you're
met.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Totally.
And then it happens. Like, it happened to Rochelle.
Right.
Like, that is awful.
And so while they're looking at Rochelle, she's like, don't look at me, but I have some aggressive exes that you should maybe look into about this.
Yes.
And one in particular has been sending her recently very harassing, antagonistic, stalky messages.
Like, what is wrong with people?
Because this guy has been stalking her.
Yes.
So he hasn't even met Dr. Sanye.
Right.
But she is telling the cops and she's like, look, now I thought, you know, me and Joseph were kind of even laughing about it, but now that he has been murdered, I have to tell you some things that I knew were red flags. But she's like, I feel like I've been followed to the gym.
This is kind of important. Like, outside the gym, she sees a guy, like a big,
right.
weird-looking guy in a car that's, like,
her.
Looking at her. And then her and Dr. Sonny were, like, having wine one night.
They're drinking wine in the kitchen, and they see a flash.
It's dark outside, and Joseph and I both saw a flash from the outside. We laughed and kind of joked about, you know, maybe somebody was following us.
Shortly after that, Dr. Sonny has locks put on the gate. He has his locks changed.
they were laughing, but a little bit like, yeah.
Like, just in case, let's change the locks in case or
having
whatever.
The locks change is like no small thing.
No,
like,
that's not.
Like, they must have been worried enough that they're
absolutely.
Like, let's take extra precautions.
Now, there's also a letter from air quotes Tina.
Yeah.
who's Joseph's ex.
Yeah.
And Tina wrote a letter to Michelle. Now, this letter looks like a 10-year-old boy trying his
yes.
hardest to write in the prettiest script. They think it's fake. I would agree.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous. But the letter was sent to Rochelle saying, hi, my name's Tina, and Joseph is cheating on you with me.
Yes.
And he's paying me for sex. All these horrible things to try to ruin this relationship. And Rochelle's like, have you seen me?
I know. Right.
Our relationship's... Right. I was fine at the tailgate.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about me,
Don't worry
Tina.
About me.
Also,
yeah.
This is fake.
It's also just like, I will never understand why people have to do stuff like this.
I don't either.
You know what I mean? And also, if you're in the relationship, if you're Rochelle or Dr. Sanye and you're dealing with this stuff, it must just be like, why?
Yeah, but the good thing, like, none of it didn't work.
Yes.
Because she was like, you're not cheating on me, right? And he's like, of course not.
Exactly.
And she's like, I believe you. This is a healthy relationship. Like,
yep.
The whole goal is that these people can poison you from a million miles away.
Yes.
And relationships that are good for, you know, for a time or whatever are just kind of like, yeah, this is weird and stressful and annoying, but it's not doing what the person wants it to do.
Exactly.
It's definitely causing stress.
Yes.
But it's not ruining their relationship, which is always the goal.
Exactly. And so we also learn about a guy named Dr. Thomas Michael Dixon.
Boo.
Right. So I'm a little unclear on the timeline here. He was a recent ex of Rochelle's.
Plastic surgeon in Amarillo.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Dixon.
He's well known, married, successful, a wealthy doctor, and they meet when Rochelle's a patient.
He had a med spa in Amarillo, and I went there to get Botox injections.
What attracted you to him?
He was funny, he was very witty, and he was enjoyable.
He was witty and funny and made it enjoyable. And honestly, if you can have a good time when somebody's shoving a needle in your face,
sure.
Like, maybe this is somebody you want to get to know better.
Right. Now, Jess, we got to slow down on this.
Yes.
Rochelle is dating Dr. Dixon for a year. Dr. Dixon is married.
Yes.
Rochelle knows this. They are dating for a year. And this relationship, like, his wife gets wind of it and she leaves him.
Yes.
The doctor's wife leaves the doctor because of this relationship he's having with
and Michelle. You know what? Good on your wife. Half of what's his is yours. Get out of there.
Like,
have a second act.
No one has time to put up for that. And it's
no.
kind of like, Rochelle, you knew he was married and you were dating him for a year. And it just feels like a year.
I know.
A year? Like, not cool, Rochelle.
It's not okay. It's not okay. Now, what we don't know is whatever conversations were happening between Dr. Dixon and his wife, maybe she, who knows?
I don't know, but she filed for divorce.
Yes.
I get the sense that Rochelle wasn't the only person he was cheating with.
Sure.
And that the wife finally realized what was happening or finally got her ducks in a row and she was able to leave and that's what happened.
Yes. Well, I hope that wife is out there somewhere living her best life being happy. But Rochelle tells us that Dr. Dixon knew about Dr. Joseph and had referred to him by name in several text messages and was texting her because he's trying to get her back.
So I'm like, we got to talk to this Dixon guy.
We do. What we're going to learn is that like the crossover, like I think she was like dating Dr. Dixon and Dr. Joseph kind of at the same
time. And it kind of sounds to me, I'm speculating wildly,
yeah.
And I apologize for this, but it kind of seems like there was a conversation that maybe resembled something a little bit like, well, I'm dating this guy, and if you don't leave your wife, I'm not going to stop seeing him.
Yeah.
Because we learn that, like, right after the divorce, and I guess this Dr. Dixon guy didn't say, like, okay, let's get married forever, because
yes.
they never fucking do.
Right.
She was like, she immediately starts dating Joseph, or she gets in a more serious relationship with Dr. Joseph. And I think maybe
that's so interesting.
Based on what we've learned, I think she loved Dr. Joseph Sanye.
Yeah.
I think she was also kind of using that to rile Dr. Dixon.
Well,
based on what we've learned.
And there's more to learn on that front, too. So we'll get there in a second. So Detective Zach goes and knocks on Dr. Dixon's door.
He's like, it's 2 a.m, but fuck that.
Well, and we hear there's a recording of this conversation from the body cam, and Dr. Dixon sounds very annoyed.
He's like, I don't know anything about Joseph Sanye. I haven't spoken to Rochelle in months and months, but what he says is, he only says him and her. I don't know anything about him. I haven't spoke to her in months. He's
yeah.
not saying their names at all.
Right. But we also know that that's not true.
Yeah,
that,
it's a lie.
Like, we You're right.
The bad guy's lying, everyone. Welcome.
When you're right, GP.
Because then these idiots just keep talking. Mike Dixon tells the cops how much he really, 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 no, really loved Michelle. Really. I was head over heels. I made a lot of life changes for her.
Meaning his wife left him.
Left him.
Nobody made life changes. Your ex-wife made life changes.
He even wants credit for that. Men are the worst.
But he tells us that his relationship with... I want this story to be true.
Dixon says their relationship ended a while back, probably because he didn't give her a diamond ring and propose on her birthday. Instead, he'd given her a subscription to a Tea of the Month club.
And she went ballistic.
He got her a Tea of the Month club, and she went ballistic. Now, lucky for all of us, Rochelle is here.
She's here.
And she goes, look, it wasn't about the tea. Tea's lovely. I don't drink it, but whatever. Okay? She's mad.
Who do you believe?
Rochelle.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if you're expecting a diamond ring, you get a Tea of the Month club.
And she doesn't really, it's like, what, don't you know me at all?
Uh-huh.
I don't even drink tea.
Totally.
It's that. That's what she's saying.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like, I don't care. Like, that's not it. It's that he got me some stupid bullshit present that he doesn't even know me or like me, probably. What did I do all this for?
I think both things can be true. Your point about his wife left him and he didn't immediately propose to her is very smart. I hadn't thought of that, which is why she probably started dating Dr. Joseph, like you said.
I'm not letting Rochelle off the hook for dating a man who was married and that was causing strife in his marriage.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that there is some truth to the wife is gone. Why aren't you proposing to me now?
A little bit is what I'm just gathering from my little Columbo.
But she was not happy about the Tea of the Month Club.
And she's like, it's not just the Tea of the Month Club. It's not just that. It's that he didn't even wish me a happy birthday in person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but when was your birthday? Maybe he couldn't get away because he's still married, or maybe there are kids. Like, you can't always, it just seems a little bit like.
Yeah, when you're at that stage in life and you're on your like second big relationship and there are other people's kids and spouses involved.
It's just very messy because Rochelle says, this story is coming from Rochelle. Rochelle says, we worked through the tea debacle. We worked through tea gate.
Tea of the month gate.
And so let's plan a trip, blah, blah, blah. The next day she's like, hey, sorry, I'm in love with my dance partner.
Okay.
Whatever now. And I was like, really?
The day after the weekend getaway, Rochelle says, never mind, I'm in love with my dance partner.
Because
this is messy.
He didn't take the time to propose on the weekend getaway. So she's like, all right, I didn't get the ring for my birthday, but maybe he'll propose on this like romantic getaway.
And don't use Dr. Sonia either. So this is messy, Rochelle.
Yes.
And you got to own it a little. And I don't hear any of the messiness coming through with Rochelle. She's more incensed about the Tea of the Month Club.
I will also just say that Rochelle, you know, when asked if she was expecting Dr. Sonia to propose, she's like, I didn't really care about that. I wanted to. So I don't want to put it on her like all she cared about was getting married and having a diamond ring.
I don't care about her feelings about getting married.
Yeah,
I just feel like she was dating this guy who was married and it's messy. Like, and it feels like she's kind of using her relationship with Dr. Sonia, who according to everyone else we spoke to, like his family, he was super into her.
Right.
He took her to California to meet his grandkids. He took her to this like family tradition that he has with his sons every year.
Yeah.
Like she was really involved in the family, and now I'm hearing that she's like, no, I'm in love with, like, she's kind of using his affection for her in this other messy relationship.
I just got lost in the fact that he's 48 and has three grown sons.
He has grandkids.
I'm 45 and I have a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong, GB?
Nothing. Nope, we don't do that. We're not comparing.
I nailed it. I did it right.
No, we're not doing that.
Oh, great.
You're doing great.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem.
Oh, God, you're the best.
Thank you.
Travel down. Girl, Prize Picks is back. Fam, I think you should know by now, Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members.
Yeah, it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players.
You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in.
And you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks.
That can't be right.
It is. You can turn $10 into $1,000.
Stop it.
With basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app.
Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, fam, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Caitlin Clark,
a
person I actually have heard of, and Connor McDavid, all in the same entry.
I'm picking Caitlin Clark
of
for sure. Always and forever.
Same here.
I have to tell you, it's also, you don't have to like love these sports to play.
Oh, I know. You and me both have done this.
It's still really fun. You know, I go with whatever the mascots are, like the name of the team. If there's like a wolf in the name, I'm picking it.
Of course.
And it's still really fun. fun.
It is really fun.
Yeah. Well, now I'm also just always playing Caitlin Clark. So now I'm definitely invested.
So fam, download the app today and use code OBSESSED for a first deposit match up to $100.
Yeah. Download the app today and use code OBSESSED for a first deposit match up to $100.
And go bet on Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Girl, Shopify is back. And listen, Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world.
Yeah, that's great, which it is. But did you know that Shopify can also do the same thing at your retail store?
Really?
Yeah. Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
I love Shopify. Yeah. When we were getting our stuff off the ground, we were nothing without Shopify. And further, to Jillian's point...
You don't have to give me the credit.
At your retail store, Shopify can do everything from accepting payments to managing inventory. Shopify does it all, fam, to sell in person.
Yeah, and so with Shopify, you're getting a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source.
Yeah, you can track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock, which I cannot tell you the value of, having like taken our merch out on tour. Uh-huh. Like, the inventory situation is a nightmare, but Shopify makes it so easy.
Yeah, plus Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way.
What would we do without their amazing customer service?
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh my goodness.
I don't even want to think about it.
Fam, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/obsessed, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/obsessed to take your retail business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/obsessed, all lowercase.
All lowercase.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
I don't want to have to say it again.
No.
I'll say it 100 times,
all
but it's
lowercase.
All lowercase. I mean, my God.
My God.
But Dr. Dixon now, he's like, fine. Now he's dating 19-year-old Ashley,
yeah,
several decades his junior, we learn, and I quote, she's a medical student, and she is his alibi.
Yeah, we see one video of them somewhere.
She looks
like a hostage. She looks so nervous and so much like she does not want to be wherever they are together.
Yeah.
It also looks like counter service sushi.
This Dixon guy... It's all in the name. He's a dick.
Yeah.
I don't like him. I find he's probably very aggressive. He's someone who really wants to like see and be seen.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's a loudmouth blowhard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure he, you know, manipulated 19-year-old Ashley, med student who might be working with him. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I think he strong-armed her.
Uh-huh.
To made her all these promises.
But you remember that surveillance video that we saw? Like, she looks like a hostage.
She looks not thrilled.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not happy to be there.
But everyone's alibi checks out.
Ashley Wolbert is his alibi for the night of the murder. They were out eating sushi in Amarillo.
Dr. Dixon's sushi alibi checks out. And Rochelle's alibi, and Sonia's ex-girlfriends. So Detective Johnson is kind of starting from scratch again.
And now we're back to square one at a total dead end with no suspects.
Right, because it's like Dr. Dixon's alibi checks out, Rochelle's alibi checks out,
like
all of her ex's alibis check out.
And then suddenly, ring, 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 it's Paul Reynolds on the line. Paul Reynolds,
right.
Who we're just meeting.
He's a down on his luck nurse, we find out.
He calls the police with some very valuable information.
I want to get to that in one second. Can I just say one thing? They describe him as like kind of like a loser, like a down and out on his luck nurse. Being a nurse is so hard.
Yes.
Like getting a nursing job, getting through nursing school, this man is a fucking hero.
Of course.
In more than one way.
And has a conscience.
Totally. Like, I just wanted to, like, I don't want it to go unsaid that you can't be a loser and a nurse.
No.
You know what I mean?
Unless you're that nurse that was killing people in
the
documentary.
That's true. The one example.
Then you're an evil nurse.
Yes, that's right.
I met a nurse who was really mean to me.
Okay, but like...
Not all nurses.
Look, and I'm sorry that happened and that is shitty and that shouldn't happen.
She
but
made me
that
cry.
Really? Yeah. But that nurse worked really hard to get their degree. Like, it's
sure.
Hard to be a nurse.
I get it.
Yeah. They did a bad thing. I don't like that.
This was like a year ago, too. Not
what
even
happened,
when I was
honey?
A kid. It was horrible. I came home crying.
Why?
They were really mean to me.
Well, tell us what they did.
They just, I don't want to get into it. They were
okay.
Just mean to me.
Okay.
And I've never went back. I've changed doctors.
Wow.
I'm not going to be treated that way.
So, okay, great. Nope.
Paul is a registered nurse. As they say, he's, quote, down on his luck.
Yeah.
Now, because Paul calls the cops and he's like, I got to tell you the story.
I love how you're saying his name.
Paul Reynolds?
Paul.
Paul.
It's Paul.
Paul. Paul's like, ring, ring, the cop's great.
Yeah.
I have to tell you about
great.
Something.
Paul, is this the cop's great?
Great. Okay, amazing. It's 911. Okay, perfect. Or it's a non-emergency line, but I think it's an emergency. I don't know. So Paul's like, I'm a registered nurse, and my friend Dave Shepard is letting me crash on his couch.
Yeah.
Now, Dave Shepard... out of the clear blue skies, starts talking to Paul and says...
He says Shepard is spinning some wild stories about killing a man in Lubbock. Now, Reynolds is pretty sure he's making it up, but then he Googles murders in Lubbock, and the murder is real.
Paul's also like, you're just being a dick. That didn't really happen. Goo, goo, goo. Oh my God, you actually killed somebody in Texas.
Now, Dave Shepard is unemployed, divorced, and has a record. He's a, quote, convicted thief. Now, it sounds like Paul should be helping him.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know how they know each other or what, but if Paul were here, it would say former friend of Dave Shepard.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Now, but, this Dave Shepard guy is friends with Dr. Dixon. They met over cigars and martinis at some hot spot in Amarillo. So, okay.
I just want to say, this guy did this.
Yes. So the bad guys here are Dave Shepard and Mike Dixon.
Yeah, Paul the nurse, great guy.
He made a perfect phone call, and now we're, bye, Paul.
How stupid do you have to be a hitman, and then you're going to tell your friend about it?
Dave's pretty dumb. we meet him, and also his daughters, Haley, Abigail, and Rachel are here, and they
Heroes.
Hate him.
Yeah.
So, because they're like, oh, our dad worshipped that Mike Dixon guy. It's so annoying.
I gotta say, so this guy, Shepard, Dave Shepard, like the loser with the amazing daughters. The thing that I couldn't get out of my brain is that he raised them and they're amazing.
They're amazing. They are amazing in spite of him.
Yeah.
Despite
okay,
in spite
let's
of him.
Go with that. Because I'm kind
of
like,
not because of, but
no.
In spite of.
Because he's like, this Dave Shepard guy is a bad, bad guy, but he's got great kids.
And they're all, you know why? Because they are like, their eyes are open and they're seeing reality for what it is. Like, they're not trying to be like, well, my dad. No.
Their dad
is trash and evil and they know it. So they're like, this Mike Dixon obsession, like, it was so annoying.
Dad was definitely obsessed with Mike. Like,
really?
He had a big man crush on Mike.
So what did your dad see in him?
His money and his success.
Dad wanted to be Mike.
My dad wanted to be Mike.
It was the money. Like, it was like, you know, the daughters later are going to say, like, our dad never had any money ever. And so, like, this plastic surgeon is paying attention to him.
But you know Mike is that blowhard guy who's just full of shit.
Yeah.
So he's like, Mike.
He sees Mr. Shepard as an easy mark.
And
I need something done. This loser's going
to
do it.
But also, I need someone to think I'm awesome.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Dave is a perfect, he's a heel. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
is he a
perfect
herb?
Perfect heel. He's a herb, like, evil monster. So Dave Shepard and Dr. Mike Dixon, I'm saying doctor to kind of differentiate come up with a plan. Mike Dixon is obsessed with Rochelle and wants her back.
Yeah.
He ended his marriage for her. Now she's in love with her dance partner. This cannot stand.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, Dave Shepard, the killer, he tells the cops everything.
We see him tell it.
He folds in 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
I absolutely did this. And he says it started small. All we wanted to do was, quote, get a child gay porn subscription and send it to Dr. Sanye's office. This idiot thinks you can walk into a gay bookstore where my book is displayed prominently, I hope, and buy a subscription to, quote, the Man Boy Love Association and just send it to the doctor's office.
Now, he's talking about child sexual abuse images, because there is no child gay porn, number one.
Oh my
it's
God,
child
right.
sexual
yes.
abuse yeah. images. But now, the Man Boy Love Association is a real thing.
It's true.
It's called NAMBLA. It's the North American Man Boy Love Association. It's fucking disgusting.
It's horrendous and disgusting, and like, you almost can't believe it's real, because
I don't know how it's allowed to be real. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
If you want to, just make sure you have a shower available for
don't,
you.
Don't spend
you,
any
like,
time looking this up.
It's the fucking
it's
worst.
It's horrible.
But like, these books don't exist in bookstores, you fucking idiots.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, thank God. So that plan didn't work, you sick fucks. And so, the point
How
is
do
that
you feel about
I
them?
Hate that. And the fact that their mind goes to that, and that
I
they
know.
Think that this is readily available to them.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, how stupid do you have to be to think that you could even walk into an adult gay bookstore and buy, like, child sexual abuse images?
Right. Like, no.
No.
That's impossible. But they get worse.
I know.
Like, more stupid. So the point is, they want to ruin Dr. Sanye's reputation, which is very hinged and very mature.
Yeah.
So in addition, their stupid fucking NAMBLA thing didn't work. So thank God it didn't.
I just can't believe that's real. I can't believe it's a real thing.
It's hard. I don't know. Like,
I know.
We did it, Joe. No, we didn't.
No.
Can someone get somebody on the phone and just end NAMBLA?
I know.
Is it that
I
fucking
know.
Hard?
It's,
you know, you don't even want to know that there are some very familiar names who've defended NAMBLA. And
like,
you don't even
who?
No.
Judith Light. I'm just kidding.
Can you imagine? I think, like, some people see it as like a freedom of speech issue.
No.
Oh, I'm not even getting into
it. Yeah, fuck them.
So the other thing they want, they're like, oh no, we can't get these child sex abuse materials. Like, they're disappointed in that. So they're like, oh, let's hire a stripper.
Ridiculous schemes to humiliate Sonya. Hiring a stripper to pretend she's Sonya's girlfriend. So Rochelle will think he's two-timing her.
None of it works. And Dixon starts talking about a different plan.
So remember that stupid letter from, quote, Tina?
Yes.
It's all them.
Exactly.
It's them.
Yeah.
So none of it ever happens. They're all just ideas at cigars and martinis.
I mean, so gross. So then Dr. Dixon is like, listen, Shepard, you're going to have to stalk him. I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to stalk
him. He needs to do something, quote, physical.
Yes.
Because even though they sent the letter from Tina, which, like, a stripper wouldn't write like that. I'm sorry. The handwriting. I feel like all strippers have really cute handwriting.
This is also not 1984. She would have sent an email or a fucking handwritten letter.
A handwritten letter.
You know what I mean?
But it's not breaking them up.
Right.
Is the point.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Dave Shepard starts stalking Dr. Sonia and Rochelle. He starts taking their dance class.
So remember how in the beginning we were talking about how, like, she saw the stalker outside of the gym. Like, this is real.
This is
she
real.
She really did see them.
But also, this loser is driving 2 hours each way every single day to stalk his friend's ex.
Yeah.
Get a life, you loser.
But then texting Dr. Dixon about it, which becomes important later.
Yes. So everything, Rochelle's gut was absolutely right. She was being watched. She was being stalked. There was a creep in the dance class. Like, and it's Dave Shepard.
Yes. Remember that flash they saw outside of his house?
Yes.
It was him taking a picture, and the flash made it so that he took an accidental selfie.
Right. In the glare of the window.
In the glare of the window.
This is who we're dealing with here. And they're
the look
also
of disappointment.
Like, idiots. But they're also, like, looking for dirt. There's no dirt to be had.
No.
They're just in a relationship and it's fine and
yes.
you can't break them up no matter how many fake stripper letters you send. Like, grow up. So after hours and hours of being interrogated, this loser, Dave Shepard, tells the cops everything.
Everything.
He's like, Mike Dixon was at the end of his rope. He wanted something really bad to happen to these two people. Nothing was working, so he had to make it happen.
Yeah.
And Dave Shepard explains the horrible thing he did to Dr. Sonia.
He walks us through the events that led to Dr. Sonia's murder. So it's July 10th, 2012. It's Shepard's final trip to Lubbock. Remember, he's been, like, going back and forth every day stalking
these two. 2 hours each way. Loser.
Idiot. He sneaks into the doctor's backyard.
He's got a gun and a knife, and he hides, and he waits. Sonia comes home, makes himself a drink, and suddenly, Shepard is at the back window.
I pull the gun out of the bag with the Gatorade on it. Point the weapon with the bottle at him. He discharges several times.
After 3 or 4 shots, Dr. Sonia is still alive. He's backing away. He stumbles out into the room. Shepard follows him into the garage where he stabs him 11 times.
And so the killer confesses to murder, tells him exactly how they did it. And if that's not enough, they have his DNA because he's an absolute idiot.
I mean,
he drank the entire bottle of Gatorade before using it as a silencer.
I mean,
so his DNA is everywhere. Like, all kinds of DNA is everywhere.
And, like, does it work as a silencer?
I don't know. It's a slam dunk either way in terms of a case to prosecute this, right?
Travel. Girl, Simply Safe is back. Look, it is springtime. It is time to get rid of things like being broken into twice while you're home and asleep.
Yeah, it's a time for renewal. And if you were kind of on the fence about Simply Safe, let's tell you about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fam, you know about Simply Safe. Simply Safe is trusted by the experts. It was named Best Home Security Systems for 2024 by U.S. News & World Report, and Newsweek awarded it Best Customer Service in Home Security.
So here's why it's getting all these amazing ratings. Because the system blankets your whole home in protection. So it has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, like anything bad that can happen to your house, it can detect it. Plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night.
Fam, this is true. Simply Safe professional monitoring agents can even help stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through their wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and police are on the way. Can you imagine? You've cased the joint. Mm-hmm. You come back the day later. You think you've done all your homework and suddenly some lady is screaming at you, get out of there. That is not your house.
And the damage is done because you're already on camera. It doesn't matter if you didn't steal the whatever. You're in there, buddy. We gotcha. We gotcha.
We gotcha. Also, fam, with no contract and a 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try Simply Safe risk-free. And if you don't absolutely love it, send the system back for a full refund.
Yeah, Simply Safe is all about giving you some real peace of mind. And we want you to have that. So get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring.
Just visit simplysafe.com/TCO.
That's simplysafe.com/TCO. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
And also, there's no scaring a criminal like having some person scream at them while they're in your living room.
I know. Like a voice from above.
Yeah.
It's like, no, is it your conscience?
Gone.
No, it's Simply Safe.
I think we just gave them a new tagline,
That's
GP.
That's it. DA Matt Powell offers him a deal. He's like, look.
If he'll rat out his good friend Dixon, then he'll only get a life sentence instead of a death sentence. And He's got to know. Texas carries out those death sentences.
Look, this is Texas, so we will actually kill you.
Yes.
So that's actually what he says.
He literally says that in the episode.
So
on Old Sparky, like, nobody wants to die that way. Just ask Ted Bundy.
Yeah, and like, that's the deal.
Yeah.
The deal is that I'll give you life in prison because we're in Texas, and the death penalty, we will actually kill you.
We will kill
you. You're not just going to sit on death row for however many years.
And like, this fucking moron did not imagine. What did you think was going to happen?
He didn't think that far ahead.
I guess
and
not.
And I'm sure his good friend Mikey Dixon had all this grand plan about how they're going to get away with it, and Dave Shepard's an idiot and just believed it. I'm sure
dazzled
Mike,
by the martinis and cigars.
I'm sure Mike Dixon had this whole story about how perfect it was all going to be. I mean, that's the only way he would do this. So the killer has pled guilty to murder and says that Mike Dixon hired him to do it. Now Dallas, the son is back, and he's pissed. And
he goes, I love what he says.
He goes, "A low-life scum and a piece of shit doctor. Let's go get these guys." And I'm like, "Let's go."
I know. But now we also meet Andrew Dixon, which is Mike Dixon's son. So Mike Dixon is like the quote mastermind here. And I guess we got to humanize him for 2 minutes by getting an interview with his son. He's like, there's absolutely no way my dad could have done this. He was an amazing dad. He took me fishing once. And he said, now, like, he's fighting for his life. This is terrifying and so sickening.
Okay, so anyway.
So he's the opposite of Dave Shepard's daughters who are here to do the right thing. The actual trigger man's daughters who are like, my dad fucking did it and he's a piece of shit. Yeah.
So DA Matt Powell says that Dave Shepard, the killer, was the perfect patsy.
Yes.
Because Mike Dixon was obsessed with Rochelle. Dave Shepard was a dummy in love with Mike Dixon. And here we are.
Totally.
Like, they were all in, it was like a love triangle, only the killer wanted to be Mike Dixon.
Right, like, Shepard wasn't, like, romantically in love with him. He just was dazzled
enamored
by him.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
He
wanted his life.
Oh, my God.
So they gotta go through the evidence of, like, what does the prosecution actually have? Because a lot of it is the confession and, like, circumstantial evidence. They say they've got the gun that Shepard used. They found it in a lake right behind Dixon's office, and it was registered to Dixon's brother.
I mean, come on.
I know. I also love, too, when we get the archival, like, we see them actually going into the lake to get the gun.
They're like, is it this one?
I know.
It says property of Mike Dixon's brother.
Right. It also looks like they made some attempt to scratch off the serial number, but then just gave up after 1 minute.
Stupid.
But the big thing that they have are the text messages between Dixon and Shepard. So remember, Dixon sent the guy to Lubbock to stalk the couple, and Shepard is just, like, texting him all day long, being like, here's everything you wanted to know about what they're doing.
And saying, you know, like, but Dixon's also saying to Shepard, you have to stay close, watch them in the morning. He's giving him instructions.
Yeah.
And then the killer is actually doing it.
But because Dixon knows that they've got him on the text messages, when they come to arrest him.
When he was arrested, the SWAT guys told me he had actually jumped into a swimming pool and tried to ruin the phone. The problem was the man had plugged the phone in and backed it up to his computer. So all of the stuff that he thought was not going to get him in trouble was backed up to his computer.
What would the explanation be for why you jumped into the pool with your clothes on?
I just want to swim one last time. I just want to feel that
cool,
chemical-filled chlorine water in my hair one last time. And also in the confession.
I just would love them to make this into a movie just for that one scene.
Like,
of him, like, John Goodman jumping into the pool.
This is it. You know? Poor John Goodman. He's so nice. He lives in New Orleans, and my aunt and uncle who live down there, like, my aunt's like, I see him at the bank all the time. He's like
a
normal guy.
Right?
He's like a good, like salt of the earth guy, John Goodman, right?
Not defending NAMBLA.
Like, no. No. So in the killer's confession, he tells the cops what Mike Dixon paid him.
This is amazing.
A box of Cuban cigars and three silver bars. I'm like, what is this?
Oh,
Traders Australia?
I know.
Silver bars?
Silver bars. And like, this idiot Shepard probably thought they were worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Nine grand.
They
find the silver bars at a pawn shop.
Like,
$9,000.
Silver bars. It doesn't make any
sense.
That's
what they pay you in Traders Australia. It makes no sense.
Oh, is that right?
Silver bars.
I guess the idea is that maybe they're not trackable. You know what I mean?
Well, they are because we found them at the pawn shop.
We found them at the pawn shop like in 10 minutes.
Like, what? So, but the defense, of course, has an answer for everything.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
They're so smug about it.
Yeah. The gun, Dave Shepard stole it from Mike.
Yeah.
From Mike Dixon. It wasn't given to him.
Right.
The stalking, it was only to get photos of Dr. Sanye out with other women. And I'm like, right, so that he he can show them to Rochelle so she'll dump him? Like, what are you talking? Like, how is that a decent defense? Oh, no, we were only trying to, like, prove he was cheating. One, he wasn't cheating.
Right.
And two, why?
And then why are you taking pictures at Sonya's house? That's the main relationship.
You're not a licensed PI, are you?
Right, exactly.
No. Move along. Then they say, like, Rochelle was flaunting the relationship. She wasn't flaunting anything. And even if she was, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Mike Dixon was blocked on all of her socials. Let her live her life.
Yeah, and they go back to the Silver Bars, the defense attorneys, to say, like,
the defense says Dixon wasn't paying for a hit. It was for an investment they had together, an allergy testing business.
Like, he's going to go into business with that fucking Shepherd guy.
We already have Claritin and Benadryl. We're upset.
We're good.
Enough. It's bullshit.
We don't need anything. We're fine.
Oh, no, those Silver Bars.
I know.
Currency that fucking nobody uses unless you're Traders Australia.
I didn't even know they made silver bars. I thought it was just gold bars.
Oh, yeah. I'm just using those silver bars.
I know.
For an investment.
Yeah.
How are you going to invest? What are you going to go to the bank? I have $9,000 in silver bars. Like, can you? Like, it just makes nobody thinks a centimeter ahead.
I know.
So now it's like he said, she said in the trial. And Dave Shepard, the killer, says Mike Dixon absolutely wanted them killed.
Yes.
And Dave Shepard, the killer, apparently says to Mike Dixon, are you sure? Because look, if I kill these people for you, you're going to have nightmares for the rest of your life. And I'm like, Dave, are you going to have any nightmares?
I know.
Are you seriously coddling Mike Dixon right now?
Dave not only doesn't have a brain, he also doesn't have a soul.
No.
You know?
And his daughters know it because his daughters know he did this and they are in court to support the Sonya family.
And I was wondering what that dynamic was like.
And they're young women.
They are young.
They're not, they're, you know, in their 20s.
I mean, and one of them might even still be a teenager.
You know, so they like, they're just, they see this for exactly what it is. And it's just such a, we so rarely see this.
Yes, that's true. And where like the daughters aren't just like blindly defending the dad.
They just had like a shitty week where they kind of realize, oh, this is who our dad is. And then they kind of, it helps you heal and move on and accept what this person is if you just sort of acknowledge it. And now you're on the right side of history and the right side of the courtroom.
Which is why I keep saying like this piece of shit guy raised these three amazing young women. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like he must have done something right somewhere along the way.
I mean, it happens all the time. The opposite. You have great parents and then someone's a serial killer.
I guess that's true.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, you're right. So Shepard, the trigger man, is going to take the stand and he's here to tell the story, to testify against Mike Dixon.
And implicate Mike Dixon and basically say everything he confessed to.
Correct.
This is a slam dunk. The lawyers can't wait.
Yep.
This is it. It's going to be over in 10 minutes before lunch.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Except
that doesn't happen.
No, no.
He can't do this to his beloved, I guess.
On the stand, Shepard does a complete 180.
You begin to question him. What happens?
Well, he can completely digress from what his statement was to law enforcement in the fact that Mike Dixon didn't have any involvement in this deal.
Shepard says he acted alone. He completely blindsides the prosecutor.
He completely blindsides the prosecutor by saying he acted alone.
And now the lawyers hate him even more. His daughters hate him
even
more.
Son Dallas says, in that moment, I've never hated anyone more than I hated him in my entire
life. And the daughters even go to the prison to yell at him about it.
And we see the video cam of it. We see them like begging him to tell the truth.
And then they tell 2020, they're like, it was like we were talking to a child.
Yes.
It's like I was scolding a child saying, why didn't you do what we agreed you were going to do, which is tell the truth. Now, 2020 goes and asks him the same questions.
Yeah.
Why did he do this?
To sit down. He looks so awkward. He's handcuffed.
So he goes, you know what? I embellished. I felt like that's what I had to do. I had this great deal. What he's saying is, what I said on the stand was the truth.
Right.
I lied to the cops to get the death penalty off the table. And then I came clean on the stand. I don't buy this for a second.
I don't necessarily buy it, but it makes some kind of sense. Like, what would he be getting out of lying for Mike Dixon? Is Mike Dixon promising him something on the side?
Probably.
I mean, maybe.
This Mike Dixon guy seems to be very influential, especially in the world of the killer. So
yeah.
Who knows?
I will say the killer does say, before I sat down and spilled my guts, I had a deal in place with the DA that I had to do that.
I wonder if this piece of shit Dixon like threatened his daughters or something.
Right.
Like, you don't know what it was
maybe
said to him.
I, you know, we don't have enough information other than to say like this guy's a fucking liar and the trigger man, so whatever.
Course.
But like, and like Mike, even if Mike Dixon didn't say like kill the guy, it was probably implied, or
of
it was like,
course.
You know what I would like actually would be like amazing.
Yeah.
Or but even if you're just hiring him to stalk them, whatever.
It's bad. It's
all bad.
So the jury deadlocks. It's a mistrial, and Mike Dixon is free to go.
Yeah, the mastermind.
The mastermind, but the killer is still in prison.
Yes, exactly.
So, which is like, works out pretty great for the person he's obsessed with, Mike Dixon. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
This guy's still, like, he's still a killer.
Yep.
And so Mike Dixon gets to walk, and I'm sure, like, his daughter, he feels like his daughters are safe. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, 2015, 3 years later, the case goes back to trial with a new jury.
And they're obviously not calling Dave Shepard to testify.
Yeah. And one of our analysts here says,
a retrial is a nightmare as a prosecutor. You know you were going to hear the defense lawyer pick through every single inconsistency from what somebody said in a trial from 2 years before. And there's an analogy that prosecutors use. It's like putting on a cold, wet bathing suit.
They say it's like putting on a cold, wet bathing suit. And I was like, oh, I could feel that
the
to
worst.
My soul.
The worst.
A cold, wet bathing suit.
If you're getting out of the pool or the ocean and you have to pee, it's a new bathing suit time. Or you're done swimming.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you're going into like a tile bathroom.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
And then putting it back on.
The worst is like if you like were swimming yesterday and you put it out like overnight, but it didn't dry all the way. And now it's like the morning and you're going to walk down to the beach. It's still cold.
No. That's why you pack more than one.
Exactly. Totally.
So, but here's the thing. So the killer is not going to be called to the stand, but one of his daughters, Haley, takes
Yes.
And the three daughters are together in this 2020 interview. And they say, like, this was very obvious to us because after the murder, our dad suddenly had money. Like, he never had money. And now he's buying us phones. He has a new grill for the backyard.
Took them out to a fancy steak dinner.
And when asked about the money, because these daughters are smart, he goes, oh, I did some work for Mike Dixon and he paid me early. And stop asking. And they're like, okay, red flags. But Mike Dixon takes the stand this time.
He wants to take the stand in his own defense. And I got to tell you, the jurors are here and they say this.
Now, we don't know the verdict yet, but we're already talking to the jurors.
Yes. They're like, the jurors are like, he sealed his own fate. He was.
They hated him.
Yeah. He was the worst witness. One of them says, the longer he was on the stand, the harder it was for me to believe him. He had an ego that was larger than life.
Yeah.
Anytime he started talking about if something was more morally right or wrong, I knew I couldn't believe what he was testifying to.
Yeah.
Like, this is why you don't take the stand in your own defense.
If you're an asshole like Mike Dixon.
Yes.
So it takes the jury 3 hours to find him guilty on two counts of capital murder. And I'm like, it's all over, right? Wrong.
Wrong.
So his lawyer appeals and the conviction is thrown out, quote, based on procedural grounds.
Like,
and Mike Dixon is outliving his life in Amarillo. But the judge orders a third trial and the DA is like, I can't do this a third time.
I know.
A third retrial is like putting on a sandy cold wet bathing suit. So in the case of Mike Dixon, they want to go another way. The DA takes it directly to an even higher court. And as a prosecutor, I've never even seen this happen before. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals settles it, and it is a bombshell. Dixon's guilty verdict is reinstated, and once again, once and for all, he is guilty of murder for hire.
And so 8 years after the murder, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals reinstates the guilty verdict.
Yes.
He gets a life sentence, no parole.
Once and for all, they say it can't go any higher.
And he's guilty of murder for hire for the death of Dr. Joseph Sanye.
Yeah.
And so both Dave Shepard and Mike Dixon are serving life without parole in maximum security prison.
And it ends with a monologue from Rochelle talking about psychopaths and sociopaths sitting at your dinner table.
Oh, hard agree.
Because
she's like, these people are everywhere. Sociopaths are everywhere. They might be at your dinner table. They can't feel empathy. They will destroy you. You might be going out on a date with one tomorrow night. If you know a person like this, run.
And I'm like, as fast as you can.
Hard agree, Rochelle.
Hard agree.
Run. Me shaved hole in the door. Goodbye.
Oh, my God, girl, we did. What's it called?
It's episode of 2020. It's called This Is Revenge.
Oh, my God. Fam, just a quick reminder. Anybody on the Patreon at the $5 level or higher, on April 27th, just a couple days from now, we're doing our next drag bingo with the amazing Schwa.
Amazing Schwa.
If you haven't been to drag bingo, you got to come. It is so fun.
We all make the playlist together.
Yeah.
The chat is on fire. The prizes are great. Schwa is an icon and just excellent at hosting this.
So much fun.
We play a lot of bingo games because sometimes they go faster than you think. So.
And then Schwa will give you a tip on how you can get a secret second bingo card. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like you hit refresh or something. But it's really, really great and we all have a lot of fun.
So that's on April 27th. And then the next mixology class is May 6th. This is not at 7 p.m. This is not a boring mixology class. It's super fun. Jillian and I are in person with Cam, the bartender. She's making like TCO themed cocktails. She's doing a whole new slate for spring and summer.
Yep.
It's going to be so
great.
And
Cam is running the show. So we're just going to be very pleasantly surprised with what Cam has created.
It's so fun. So patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed or go to the website, click on the Patreon link. It's where you get all the extra bonus episodes too. Like, we're doing Twin Flames.
Yeah.
Quiet on the Set. We did The Cult of Mother God. Love Has Won. Mm-hmm.
Natalia Grace, both seasons. Lost Women of Highway 20.
So much stuff over there. Girl, what are we doing next?
All right. So next up, Desperately Seeking Soulmate, Escaping Twin Flames Universe starts on Patreon tomorrow.
Oh my God. It is insane.
Can I Tell You a Secret is on the regular feed next week. And then you'll get another bonus episode in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Call it about 2 weeks. Something like that. Same time, same place.
So excited.
All right. We love you.
We love you, fam.
Bye.
Bye.
A nightmare figure infiltrated their lives. This was the biggest stalking case I'd ever seen.
When can I really get going?
Hundreds of victims.
Women, girls, family members.
Too many to comprehend.
I'm gonna come and get you.
They take over your identity.
Like a shapeshifter, the stalker seems to know everything.
What's up? And guess what? Not saying who I am, but you've an idea.
What are they gonna do next?
They're gonna hurt you. It's terrifying.
Unsafe. Watched. Like prey.
Will you promise to keep it our secret?
I was ready to fight the battle of finding out who this stalker was.
Defend myself, fight my corner.
But they knew that they were winning.
They want to ruin Dr. Sonier's rip. They want to ruin Dr. Sonier's... Sonier.
Yeah, watching your eyes dart to the right, trying to figure out how to say it. You went like this. Sonier. And you knew it was right, then you went... Sonier.
You know why? Because I didn't write it phonetically.
Sonier.
Usually I just write it phonetically because my brain is going way too fast.
That's the thing. We get so far ahead and we cannot make our brain do the thing that our mouth wants to do.
Welcome to my life. Also, are you watching Sugar?
No.
With Colin Farrell and a dog named Wiley.
Is it good?
It's good. And Amy Ryan.
Oh, I love Amy Ryan.
She's amazing. It's very, I mean, there are only 3 episodes out, but it's very, it's like, oh, and Kirby's in it. Do you know Kirby?
Uh-uh.
Oh, she's amazing.
Okay.
She plays Ruby. Oh, my God. I don't know if I can trust Ruby anymore. I don't know what's going on. There's a dog named Wiley. He's the best dog actor I've ever seen. It's called Sugar.
Okay.
It's Colin Farrell in a suit.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
You know, Colin Farrell has a gay brother who looks just like him.
Really?
Yes. It's pretty good.
That's interesting news.
It's pretty good. Are you?
Like, Colin Farrell made the penguin sexy? What are we doing? He's too much. So, anyway.